This series of presentations concerning Christian apologetics is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Dr. Paul Hennebury, president of TELUS Biblical Institute, will lead our study. It is our prayer that these presentations will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
Hi, today I want to talk about the subject of neutrality, or rather the impossibility of neutrality. In my times of debating, whether online or person to person, with people of different persuasions, but particularly of an atheistic persuasion, one constantly meets with this problem. The problem being that the atheist believes that he is completely neutral, that he's starting from a ground where he has no assumptions, he has nothing to prove, and he's in this kind of intellectual aporia or vacuum, that or sterile zone, you know, where he believes that there's nothing really that he needs to prove. He throws the burden of proof on those that disagree with him. Now, he does this because, as I've said, he believes he's neutral. He's the one who has no bias. He's the one that doesn't come, you see, with different ideas that need to be proved. Now, that is a completely ridiculous and unworkable view. And if you've read Sam Harris or Richard Dawkins or Peter Boghossian or Christopher Hitchens or any number of the village atheists that you find on the internet, you will see that they are anything but unbiased. They have an agenda, and they're not above distorting every kind of fact in order to force that agenda through. For example, distorting the Christian view of faith. Sam Harris wrote a whole book called The End of Faith, against the idea of God. Now, he brought Muslims in as well as Christians, but his main attack was against the Christian view of faith, and he completely misrepresented the Christian approach. In fact, I don't think anywhere in the book I can remember that he actually defined what faith was. He just assumed that faith was this kind of blind grasping after something that isn't there. Now, why does he do that? Why does Richard Dawkins follow suit, and Daniel Dennett and others? Why do they represent the Christian position in that way? Well, it's certainly not because they're unbiased. It's because there is no neutral ground. And they're not standing on neutral ground. They're standing on a ground that is decidedly naturalistic and atheistic. And that being the case, I hope you can see, they have just as much burden of proof as anybody who disagrees with them. Now, what about me? I'm a Bible-believing Christian, so am I claiming to have neutral ground? Am I claiming to be unbiased? No, not at all. I am what I am by the grace of God. I wasn't born with a Bible in my hand, and for 25 years of my life, I was not a God-fearing man. Didn't believe in God, didn't believe in the Bible, hadn't read it, didn't know anything about Jesus. I knew that he died on the cross 2,000 years ago for something. I didn't have any idea why, and I didn't really care. I was for a while a believer in evolution, because in England that was the only view that was taught. And yet, I shifted from that position after an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, that now is my bias. I'm not neutral when I talk about my Christian faith. I'm committed to it, and I'm committed to the person of Jesus who saved me. I'm committed to the Father who sent Jesus to die for me. I'm committed to the Holy Spirit who is now within me and renewed me. And I'm perfectly happy to admit that bias. All I'm saying is that anybody else, whatever their persuasion, whatever their view, should admit that bias. They should admit that if they're a Hindu, then they view the world in a certain way, according to the way that they've learned their strand of Hinduism. The same with Buddhism, the same with Wicca, the same with atheism, or atheisms, because they like to say that there isn't one form of atheism. Let's just start off by saying, yeah, we all come from a position, and each position is a biased position. Now, being biased isn't a negative thing necessarily. It's not wrong to be biased. It's not wrong for me to be biased in favor of an umbrella rather than a paper bag when it's raining outside. So all biases are not bad things. What we need to do is admit them so that we understand where each other is coming from, and then examine those biases, examine those presuppositions. So, you know, next time you deal with somebody who's an atheist, you know, they will take this position. They will argue as if they've got nothing to prove and just ask you questions. And when you ask them questions, you will often find resistance in them answering because they've got this latent belief that they are neutral. You have to explain to them that they're not neutral and very far from it. What is neutrality from the biblical worldview? Well, neutrality from the biblical perspective is negation. And what I mean by that is that neutrality, or the claim to neutrality, automatically, from the start, is a negation of the absolute claims of the God of the Bible. Not at the end of the inquiry, but at the very start of inquiry. So that the name neutrality, when someone claims it, is really just an admission, although it's a smokescreen, but it's a smokescreen lurking behind which is an admission, tacit, of a bias, which needs to be unveiled. Neutrality often takes the guise of, let the Christian give up his presuppositions and I'll stick to mine. And again, that's something that we need to clarify with the person who objects to our position. Especially because they're going to come with all kinds of assumptions that they've got from Nova or from certain magazines or certain books that they've read, which very often don't correspond with what the Bible teaches at all. A good example of this would be Richard Dawkins in The God Delusion, when he uses this argument about the complexity of God. His argument is basically that Christians point to the great complexity of the cell, or the complexity of the universe, or the human eye, and so on, and they say, look, these things must have been designed because of their complexity. And what Dawkins thinks is a reasonable question is, well, if these things are designed, and they point by their complexity to a designer, then who designed the designer? Because obviously the one who designed these things must be more complex than the things he designed. That is a complete misunderstanding of the Christian view of God. In the Christian view of God, God is not a complex being. He's a simple being. simple in a philosophical sense of saying that he is not composed of different parts like the things that he has created. So that a cell is composed of numerous different functioning parts, and all of them have to work in tandem together over and over and in regularity according to certain physical laws which have all been also been set up by God. But God is outside of that. God is a simple being who can be understood by examining the different things that we speak about when we describe God, his attributes. Attributes such as power, love, holiness, righteousness, omnipresence, him being present everywhere. These kinds of attributes or characteristics of God are not parts of God. No, what they are in fact is they are just perspectives on God. God is loving in his power. He's also knowledgeable in his power, and he's holy in the use of his power. Likewise, in his holiness is powerful, and it's loving, and it's compassionate, and it's good. And all of his attributes then have the other attributes, so that he's not composed of these things. He is all of these things at one and the same time. Therefore, I hope you can see that Dawkins' argument falls flat on its face due to his bias.